And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride, your host for this hour. Although Juno has the highest risk for avalanches compared to any other city in the country, little is known about Juno's avalanche history. But there is a biological record that we can look to that can tell this story. Tree rings. Aaron Hood, professor at the University of Alaska Southeast, was part of a team of researchers that looked at 7 avalanche paths in the Juno area to collect samples of wood. And we also have Amber DeBartoleben from the Mendenhall Glacier's Visitor Center to join us. But Aaron, I want to start off with you, because I understand that you're going to be presenting some of your research tonight as part of a Zoom that the Mendenhall Glacier is offering, and you can watch that on Facebook. But anyway, I just want to know if you had any aha moments when you started looking at the tree rings in Juno.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, well, the real interest for this came from the fact that we actually have a fair amount of avalanche history just from sort of recent decades where people have been documenting it, but we don't really understand what's gone on over longer terms. And that's where the tree ring record is so cool, because with some of the trees that we sampled, you can go back for hundreds of years and look at the record of these larger magnitude avalanches, because again, the tree rings only document larger avalanches. They don't document small slides, so it has to be a substantial slide, enough to leave a record in the tree rings that you can tease out. And the person that I'm working with on this project is from Montana, Eric Peisch. He'll be at the talk tonight with me. And he's done a lot of work on this, recreating the avalanche history down in Montana around Glacier National Park. And so we kind of looked into this and thought it would be the perfect thing to do in Juno, just because we have so many issues with avalanches here in Juno.
So when you started looking at what was going on in Montana and looking at their research, what occurred to you?
Well, I think the really interesting thing is that what you get from these tree ring records is you get a history of sort of avalanche years. What were the years as you go back in time where there were major avalanche cycles? And that allows you to start looking at what the drivers were. What was special about those years? Are there some certain climate conditions that you can look at that might be associated with the occurrence of these large magnitude avalanches? And so that's really like interesting that you can bring in other links and start to understand not just when did these things happen, but what might have been the drivers for those kind of, again, big avalanche years that you find in the record.
So it's kind of like reading a book, only there aren't words on the page. So what are you looking for when you look at these slices of the tree?
Yeah, so we take actually like what we call a cookie or a cross section. You can also do it by just coring the tree, but the cookie or the cross section is preferred, where you have the full, you know, like what you think of, like if you're making a coffee table or something, a full cross section of the tree. The problem is that you can only get those in areas where the avalanches have knocked down trees. So we're not allowed to go in and just chop down trees and take cross sections of them. So we had to go into paths, we found trees that were down, and then we would take a little cross section out of that. And then you can look at the rings and you can actually see impact scars in the rings on the uphill side. And then when the trees get hit and kind of pushed in a downhill direction, they'll actually grow more on the downhill side. And so they form what's called reaction wood, which are really tight rings on the downhill side that are showing that the tree is kind of trying to right itself or stabilize itself by putting more wood downhill. So you can read the scars and the reaction wood, and that allows you to date back in time. And basically it took, I didn't myself do the tree ring analyses. That was done in a lab in Montana. And it was a lot of time of people looking under microscopes, counting the rings, aging them. So it's really, it's very labor intensive work.
Well, it sounds like it, but how far back were the oldest tree rings that you looked at? So, you know, that you could see kind of a history for Juno.
The oldest tree rings we looked at, and if I remember correctly, were in the late 1300s. So we're talking centuries. It's hard to tease out an avalanche signal from the oldest trees, because for one, we didn't have very many trees that were that old. And for two, they're very small. And so they're not as good as recording the signature. And so more of the signal we got was from the last couple centuries rather than going back, you know, say 4 or 5 centuries. But we still did have a number of trees that were over 300 years old, for sure.
My goodness, over 300 years old. So how do you correlate the tree rings with the weather, the climate? Or is there a way to do that, especially that far back?
You know, that's a good point. There are ways to do that, although here it's trickier because in a lot of places you can look at the width of the rings and say, oh, that was a wet year, or that was a year they had more snow. But in Juneau, most years are wet years. And so climate and tree rings don't have the same sort of climate signal. Part of what we hope to do is look at the record of avalanche years that we find from the past, you know, within the last century, a good part of which we have weather records, and we also have records of things like the Pacific Decadal Oscillation and El Niño, La Niña, that go back now more than 100 years. And so those are the kinds of things we can start to match up with what we see in the rings. But so, we can't go farther back, you're right.
So before we get too far ahead, what is the oscillation again for those of us who might be familiar with that Pacific Decade Oscillation term?
So the Pacific Decadal Oscillation is basically sort of a climate, what we call teleconnection. It's similar to El Niño, La Niña, which many people are familiar with. And it basically has to do with whether the water in the Gulf of Alaska is warmer than normal, then we're in a warm cycle, or colder than normal, then we're in a cold cycle. And that has a lot of influence on how much snow we get in the winter in Juneau.
Well, the weather is changing. Everybody says it is. I'm not sure what the statistics bear out, but in Alaska, we've seen temperatures warm up in recent decades. So how is that going to be valid when you look at tree rings that may come from a different cycle in our weather history?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, if we go back in time, we can see that we've shifted through warmer periods and colder periods. I mean, you talk to people that grew up in Juneau and they'll say, oh, if you go back to the 50s, it was much, much snowier than it is now. And then there were periods where it was warmer. And so we actually go through the tree ring record goes through a lot of periods that are warmer, colder in the past. Although you're right, as we move forward, it is warming, and that's a big open question. We'll talk about that a little bit tonight, about what that might mean for avalanches.
All righty. And speaking of tonight, we have Amber DeBartoleben with us. How do we access this wonderful offering that Mendenhall Glacier is going to have tonight?
Hi, Rhonda. And I just first of all want to thank Aaron and Eric for helping us out with this. Folks that want to watch Aaron and Eric's presentation on avalanche history, or any of this year's fireside chats actually, can go onto the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center Facebook page. You can find that either by going to facebook.com and then / Mendenhall Glacier VC, or just searching for Mendenhall Glacier Facebook on the search engine of your choice. And you do not need a Facebook account. It might have an annoying little bar at the bottom, but you can watch it without one.
That's great, because you have had some great lectures. Just real quick, what's coming up next? Because we only have a few of them left in your season to catch.
Right, so we have three more after tonight. Next Friday, March 5th, we have Professor Amanda Kelly from UAF, who's going to be talking about ocean acidification in Alaska. And on March 12th, we have biologist Dan Ecker from ADF&G, and he's actually talking about the cryptic rainforest ungulate of the Sitka black-tailed deer and some studies that have been done. And then on the 19th, we'll wrap it up with Linda Kruger, who is the only certified nature and forest therapy guide in Alaska. She's going to talk about forest therapy and forest bathing.
I like that concept of forest bathing. Don't you always feel good when you go to the woods and take a walk? There's
That's
something.
Why I do what I do.
Yes, you should be the most tranquil person of all, right? Just a quick question about tonight's workshop. I know that there's interest in avalanches because that is a problem. As people go out in the backcountry, there are worries about that. But I guess you have some other things coming up to help with that.
Yes, so it worked out really well. We were especially excited to have Aaron present this year because his topic dovetails nicely with a program that we're starting to develop, which is called Snow School. And it's a program, it won't be available until sometime next year, but the idea is to offer field trips to middle schoolers where we can begin to introduce students to content that will help them safely navigate living in avalanche country, doing things like teaching them how to do compression tests and extended column tests, and just generally kind of being able to measure that and get a start on that early.
All right. Well, I want to thank both of you very much for joining us and giving us a preview of this. This sounds really exciting, and especially if eventually we know enough to be able to be a little more cautious out there and sort of take preemptive action before somebody gets injured or even dies in an avalanche.
Thank you for having us.
All right.
Thank you so much.